I'm curious what happened when she got the CAR T therapy in terms of cytokine release, neurologic issues, et cetera.
So for her particularly, she did not have cytokine release. She did not have neurotoxicity. She's on the JCAR17 trial. That trial initially was with CAR T by itself. So the patients get lymphodepletion, they get CAR T. She actually went on the arm of patients who get CAR T in the setting of ibrutinib. So the other groups have reported a decrease in the incidence of CRS when you combine ibrutinib with the CAR T. And there's theoretic reasons why you may see increased activity. The CAR T therapy for CLL has been less impressive than for DLBCL in terms of complete remission rate and long-term outcomes. So she was treated on a clinical trial and received ibrutinib with the CAR T. She didn't have a large bulk of disease when she got her CAR T. She just had her nodal group and her cervical nodal disease and some, about 50% involvement in her bone marrow with CLL. And she did not have significant CRS or neurotoxicity on the study. She was a little bit concerned because she wanted to see some toxicity because they're anticipating that and that correlating with efficacy. But she did get a response. Her bone marrow was improved. She was not MRD negative at her last follow-up, but we're continuing to follow up with her. And as I mentioned, she remains on ibrutinib on that study.
You know, it's interesting. I'd heard about the idea of combining various things with CAR T, including ibrutinib, but I hadn't heard about this thing about the idea of less CRS. Is there any reason to think that it'd be less anti-tumor effect? And what do you understand? You know, ibrutinib's now used for GVHD. What do you understand about the immunologic effect of BTK inhibitors?
Well, we don't have a good understanding. We still see infections among patients who are on ibrutinib. So it is not immune restorative or does not immune reconstitute patients. Patients still have hypogammaglobulinemia on ibrutinib. There is modulation of the immune system and immune function with ibrutinib. I don't have a good understanding of the details of what that is. I don't know that anybody does. It is used for chronic GVHD, and that's based on its immune modulatory effects. At ASH, this last past ASH, there were two groups that reported on, and they did a sort of a historic comparison of a cohort of patients who received CAR T versus CAR T with ibrutinib. That was the UPenn group and the Fred Hutch Seattle group. And in their analysis, it does not look like there's worse and perhaps there's better outcomes in terms of response with the addition of the ibrutinib. And there does tend to be a lower incidence of cytokine release and severity of cytokine release when you add the ibrutinib for some unknown, unclear reason.
So you mentioned about the CAR T and CLL not being as effective. And I, you know, it's kind of curious that you don't see more about CAR T and CLL because I think that's part of the beginning. And you mentioned Penn, and they initially reported a couple of CLL patients, I think, right in the beginning. And I haven't been clear whether it's the lack of efficacy or the fact that there aren't enough patients who like get to that point with CLL. I mean, do you have patients in your practice die of CLL that, you know, maybe could benefit from CAR T?
We do. They're not very common. We have more patients dying of Richter's transformation. So there's definitely a need in Richter's transformation. So the number of patients available for those types of trials is limited. We have other very exciting clinical trial options for patients with relapse and refractory disease, for example, the reversible BTK inhibitors. So the numbers of patients are limited. If you look at the data, the phase one, phase two data with CAR T in CLL, the long-term progression-free survival is roughly 20-25%. That's lower than it is for DLBCL, which is 40-50%. And it's harder to appreciate a plateau on a curve if you're talking about a 20-25% long-term progression-free survival.